We're doing Netivot Shalom and Shavuot, and our topic is Panim Befanim Diber Hashem Imachem. Hashem spoke to you face to face. Panim Befanim Diber Hashem Imachem Bahar Mitoch HaEsh. When the verse in Devarim recounts what happened at Sinai, it's described as Hashem spoke to you face to face on that mountain from fire. Anochi Omed Ben Hashem Venichem. I was standing between Hashem and between you. Ayen Baramban. If you look, the Ramban has a large expansion on this. ועוד מהמפרשים שעמדו על זה שדברים לכאורה כסותרים. So Nachmanides and others point out that the verses seem to contradict, ויש לבאר העניין. So we have to understand, הנה השיא של כל הבחינות שזכו ישראל במעמד הנשגב של קבלת התורה, היה עניין פנים בפנים דיבר השם עמכם. It begins by saying, Hashem was face to face with you. It continues by saying, I was standing between Hashem and you. Which one was it, face to face or Moshe in between? So one of the great great heights that we attained at the receiving of the Torah was this concept of Hashem spoke to you face to face. Shubchinat yichud elyon panim befanim bevchinat nisuin. That's a unification with the one above, the idea like marriage, a unity of face to face. Uchidrashat chazal biyom chatunato ze matan Torah. And as our sages explained that when the verse says, go see the happiness, the rejoicing of King Solomon, which is a reference to Hashem, whose Shlomo, the piece is his. So see his happiness on the day of his wedding, which is the day of Matan Torah. So to attain such heights, they had to have preparation, 3 days of preparation. In those 3 days, they separated from their wives. They separated from their focus on the material goods. And for 3 days, they see lights, they see thunder, lightning, a mountain that's burning in fire. And everyone's obviously trembling. It was the idea that we say that when a woman is in hiding, if let's say a group of terrorists came to a city, so it says that the whole period that they were there, we can assume that no woman had her period. It says that the fear, when a person is standing in fear of death, they don't have a period. And a woman once told me that during the Holocaust, Be'emet, most women did not have a period at all. That they, throughout the period of the Holocaust, they didn't have a period. This woman told me that the Nazis told them that we're putting stuff in the food to destroy your reproductive system, and you won't ever be able to have kids. And the woman said they believed them because the average woman did not have a period throughout the Holocaust. But stress, right. So the stress can... So the Talmud says that when you have tremendous fear, so that removes the defiled blood. It removes the capacity to have a period. And the... So the same idea was in those 3 days where all the people saw was an awesome revelation of Hashem's might. They heard these loud sounds, thunder, lightning. I don't know what's about you, but even today, as an adult, when I hear thunder, I get scared. I hear you hear loud thunder when it's close to you. I don't know, I find it scary even today. So imagine they had 3 days of thunder over their heads and lightning and the mountain burning. So it's the Netivot Shalom says that was this idea. They're preparing for the receiving of the Torah. And this concept really is applicable every generation, every year. Only that generation, it was all Hashem's doing. Hashem was running the show. They didn't have to act. Hashem was acting. But every generation ever since then, it's up to us to arouse within us an awe, a preparation for the receiving of the Torah. And every person experiences the receiving of the Torah based on his preparation, based on his level. And just as we say about the holiness of all holidays, they all have this concept that Hashem sanctifies Israel, who has the responsibility to sanctify the times. But it's up to us. If I walk into Yom Tov and I've just come in sweating, barely got a shower in, the house is upside down, I'm running in with my tongue hanging out, so then Yom Tov's going to look one way. And if I prepared for it, and I came to Yom Tov with adequate preparation, I slept beforehand, I'm coming into Yom Tov with the koach to enjoy Yom Tov, okay, I give holiness to Yom Tov. דהיינו שקדושת הזמנים הוא לפי קדושה שיהודי מקדש ומכין עצמו לקבל פני החג. The holiness of the times corresponds to the holiness of the Jew, the way he prepares himself to welcome the holiday. And by the way, this is part of what happens when you leave yeshiva. So long as you're in yeshiva, so a week beforehand we're already discussing the Yom Tov, the spirit of Yom Tov comes in. You leave yeshiva and suddenly Yom Tov comes in and you ask yourself, which Yom Tov is it again? Right? You stand there davening and you say, Mekadesh, which Yom Tov is it? Which parsha are we on? Right. But that's up to us to change that. Meaning if after davening a person takes a few minutes every day and reads part of the parsha, if on the bus you read a little bit of the parsha, so then you come into Shabbos differently. I'm happy that we have our parsha shir on Mondays. Because that way from Monday, we're already on the scene. ועדר חמשת שאמר מרן הסבא קדוש מסלונים, זכותו יגן עלינו, the grandfather of Slonim said the following allegory. לאב הלוקח את בנו, a father takes a son, ומעלהו לפסקת ההר, and he takes him up a high mountain, שיראה משם מראות מריבות, he wants him to see awesome sights from that mountaintop. אך אחר כך מוריד אותו. Then he takes him down the mountain, ואומר לו, and he tells him, מעתה, from now on, אם רצונך במחזות אלו, if you want to see such sights from now on, עליך לעלות להר בכוחות עצמך, צעד אחרי צעד. You have to climb that mountain on your own. One step after another. I did it the first time with you. Now it's your job. כן האדם בתחילה תיכנסו בעבודת השם יתמרח, מרגיש התעלות. When a person begins the service of Hashem, so he feels an elevation. That's the idea that they say you don't find a chassid sensing chassidut like a chassid who's starting out. When you start out, you feel the greatest excitement. That's the way it is in the tshuva process. That's the way it is when a kid becomes bar mitzvah. That's the way it is. The first time you experience something, it has a tremendous impact. But afterwards, from heaven, so to speak, they take it back. But he has to work hard to get back there. He doesn't experience it again the way he once did. And that's the idea in the receiving of the Torah. Hashem revealed himself in a tremendous way when we received the Torah. And then every year after that, it's up to us. How much am I going to prepare myself for receiving the Torah on Shavuot? But how is man, who is made of mud, how is he supposed to attain that elevation? I'm supposed to reach that level as if Hashem is speaking to me face to face. So we can explain that there is a special way to attain that. How do I ascend the mountain of Hashem? How can I cleanse myself, shake myself clean of that animalistic part of my personality, of my soul? So in other places he explained that our sages said in Tractate Shabbos, anytime a Jew on Friday night says Vayechulu, what we say in Shul, at the end of Shmona Esrei, right? Just before Shmona Esrei. So it's as though we've become partners with Hashem in creation. And he who builds a sukkah, it's also as though he's partnered with creation. At first glance, we don't understand that. How do you become a partner? And how, through simply saying vayichulu, or building a sukkah, how do I become a partner with the one who created all these worlds? That's it. The understanding is, it's like marrying a woman, even if, let's say, she's impoverished. She comes to the wedding and she says, I got the shirt on my back. She brings nothing to the wedding, other than herself. But once she becomes married, he puts out a credit card in her name like his. He puts the title of the car on her name like his. The house suddenly becomes hers and his. Suddenly they're partners. If they get divorced a day later, the courts will say 50-50. What's going on here? None of that was hers. And so this is like the Ran explains, because when she allows herself to be married to him, she says, that's it, you're spreading your wing over me, I'm trusting you to take care of me. So she becomes a part of him. She says, what am I doing when I get married? Kiddushin is, you're taking the right to be my husband, but that means I'm becoming a part of you. We say now she's become like his rib. You want to separate? It's cutting off half the person, and umimela he shutaf bechol ma sheyesh lo. So she's a partner. It's like a person that gets an implant. Now it's a part of him. You know, you don't look at it and say that's my implant. No, that's a part of you. And that's the idea. When we say vayechulu, what he's saying is, Hashem is singular, because he created the world. In 6 days, he rested on the seventh. And he chose us as the singular people who will recognize that. Sages say, every day of creation has a pair. Sunday matches with Monday's creation. Tuesday with Wednesday. Thursday with Friday. And Shabbos came and said, Ribbono Shel Olam, who's my pair? And Hashem said, the Jewish people, they're going to be your pair. So when a person says, I'm declaring Hashem is king, I'm doing my part in creation, Hashem says, there's a part of creation I leave to you, that declaration that today is Shabbos, when I live up to my end, so then I've partnered up. The same idea is in fulfilling the mitzvah of Sukkah. Sukkah is like the chuppah. Just like the chasen takes his kala into the chuppah, so too, when we build a sukkah, we are entering the chuppah with the Ribon Shel Olam. It's like the cheder yichud, the chuppah. V'inei derech ha'avodah hazot sh'yudim vatel atzmo l'shem yitbarach. So what happens is we become the wife. What do we do on Shabbos? We say, I'm not working. It's like a wife says, I'm putting myself in your responsibility. I'm going to do whatever I can, but it's your responsibility, buddy. You're the husband. So, When we come into Shabbos, or when we come into the Sukkah, we're, so to speak, becoming the wife, which is why we become the partner. This idea that a Jew says, I want to become the wife, I want to become the partner of the Ribbono Shel Olam, which means I'm going to work with him on whatever direction he takes me, that's a very high level. Ki gam ze she'en biyadot ro ma'asim tovim.
So
that's the idea that a wife, it doesn't matter if she's smarter or less smart, if she's wealthier or less wealthy. The second she becomes Mrs. X, she's automatically half of what X does. As far as by Jewish, from the Jewish perspective, now they're partners in everything. Right. You see that when they always, the women joke, my husband had to work for 25 years to get the title rabbi, and I just had to get this ring. Then she becomes a rabbit. And everyone assumes that's it. She's so knowledgeable. What happened? She's his partner. That's it. And the halacha even says, Eshet chaver arei kechaver, that we honor the wife of a chaver, of someone who's attained that status, as though it was him. That has halachic ramifications too. So this level is a level that every Jew can attain. It's not contingent on one's knowledge. The level of being, so to speak, the wife of connecting with Matan Torah. And that's the essence of this holy holiday. I didn't hear you. Look at that. So we're entering marriage. We said Hashem says, my day of marriage with the Jewish people is the day I gave them the Torah. The Torah is described as the marriage contract, the ksuba, right? The luchos were the engagement contract, and the Torah is the wedding contract. So, ad shemesig p'chinat zu panim b'fanim diber shem machem sheyichud hakadosh panim b'fanim. So when a person says, I'm prepared to be married, I'm prepared to connect, I'm prepared to connect panim b'fanim. That's the idea of speaking face to face. And this is along the lines that Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev wrote in his work Kedushat Levi. He says like this: it's known that Yom Kippur cannot atone until a person is willing to erase his own ego. You enter Yom Kippur, if you come to Yom Kippur and say, I got things to say, then you're not, that's not Yom Kippur. The whole idea of Yom Kippur is, my essence is not what's important here. I don't eat, I don't drink, I don't clean myself, I'm not focused on me. I'm focused on my connection with Hashem. Shiomar, ani v'chol ma sheyeshli v'chol hakochot sheli, hakol hu labro yitbarach. What a person is saying on Yom Kippur is, everything about me is really dedicated to you. So then a person, so to speak, says, my ego is not relevant. And maybe that's the idea that the Kohen Gadol used to bow in the Holy of Holies. His bowing was a way of showing, I'm giving myself over, I'm in your hands. That's, I don't know who interprets it that way. That she doesn't have children, it seems, is because she rebuked her husband publicly. Because she came out to David and she rebuked him for revealing himself in front of the maids, etc. Right, okay, I don't know. I don't know what will be with rabbinic institutions in the days of the Mashiach, I don't know. יש לבאר בביאור דבריו יום הכיפורים הוא יום התפייסות של קודשו ברוך הוא וישראל ויום מתן לוחות השניים. So we can understand that Yom Kippur is the day where we made up with Hashem. It's the day that we got the second set of luchos, right? The second tablets were on Yom Kippur. והוא בחינת פנים בפנים וייחוד עליון. So again, we reunited with Hashem. שזה סוד וכל אדם לא יהיה בעול מועד. ולכן עניינו התבטלות לבחינת אין. That's why we recreate, so to speak, this idea of a chuppah in what's happening in the temple on Yom Kippur. And that's part of the idea that a person says, I'm not focused on my own ego, because that's key to marriage. ודבר זה מרומז בכתוב, אנוכי עומד בין שם וביניכם. כמו שפירוש הבעל שם טוב, שהנוחיות שבאדם עומדת כמחיצה מפסקת בין השם וביניכם. When Moshe says, אנוכי עומד בין השם וביניכם, the Baal Shem Tov explained that to mean אנוכי, the capital I, is what stands between Hashem and you. What stands in the way between a person's connection to Hashem is a person's own ego. When a person's being self-centered, when a person is focused on what I want, That's what stands in his way of connecting to Hashem. That's why we had people here last week who were new to many concepts in Judaism, and I said that I heard that in Eishet Torah, when you come, sometimes they tell you have to sign a contract that for a month you won't accept any new mitzvot before you start studying the concepts of Torah, because it stands in our way. This idea of what my comfort zone, what I used to, what I want, I don't want that to change. So I have a hard time connecting to Hashem if that's going to bring demands on me. If I could say, I'm not going to change, now let me see if I can see the Ribbono Shel Olam, well then I might have an easier time seeing Him. So the Baal Shem Tov said, that's the idea of Anochi. My own self-interest is Omeid Ben Hashem Uveinechem, is what's standing between Hashem and you. That's why Moshe says to them, Im tirtzu le'aga l'vchinat panim b'fanim, if you want to reach that level of being face to face with Hashem, l'tachlit ha'dveikut, to the essence of connection, de'u shelo tuchlu l'itabek elav itmarach, ela im tesalku mechitza zo al yedei betul ha'yishut v'anochiut l'vchinat en. The only way you can connect is if you take out your own personal interest. He's saying a key here for connecting to Hashem, it's also a key for marriage. It goes in both planes. So long as a person's focus in marriage is, what can I give? He'll be happy. The second a person thinks in marriage, wait, that's not fair, I deserve. So then he starts being dissatisfied with marriage. If my focus is, what can I give? What's wrong? How could you be displeased? You'll be the best husband. The second you start thinking, wait a second, why should I be giving so much? She should be giving a little bit more. She should be demanding less. Okay, so that's the concept with any close relationship.
She doesn't have to be said, oh, can you do more and more? Both sides need to be giving. Although the man is supposed to be giving more, right?
It's a long answer. In reality, in a marriage, both sides have to give. But my focus cannot be on what the other side should be giving. Two people are tired Friday night. There are dishes to be washed. So you could say, well, I've been up so many hours, and I'm so tired, and I did so many diapers, and I set the table, and I dealt with putting the kids to sleep. So now I deserve to sit back and read a newspaper. You go do the dishes. It sounds like a legitimate claim. But we'll make it even a frummy claim, right? I want to sit down and learn the Daf Yomi. So you do the dishes. The second the conversation shifts to demands, and the demands can be as legitimate as we think they are, that's when marriage starts hitting a wall. So long as the focus of the conversation is, what can I do you for? What can I do for you, right? The marriage will remain happy. And people will say the standard claim, I am a friar, in Hebrew. What's the English word for friar? There's got to be a nicer word for it. I'm being taken for a ride.
I'm the one being conned. Yeah.
I'm being conned. So a person can always feel that way. I don't think there's a marriage where a person wouldn't feel that way. I was tempted to give a class where the title would be What to Do with Those Miserable Wives. And I think it would have a full attendance. Because I think that there's a common male feeling. There are many men that sense, boy, did I strike out. What did I do to deserve this? So that's why it's very challenging to answer your question. Even though in an objective world, so then both sides have to give. But our attitude has to be, I have to give. Our attitude has to be about, what do I demand of myself? Technically, of course, a woman has her responsibilities in a marriage. But if I'm going to shift to focusing on what she should really be doing, then we have a problem. Yes?
It's a gender thing.
You're right.
No, serious question, though. You said that the Jewish people are the mate of Shabbat in the feminine sense. But you've also read that in the female aspect, Hashem comes to us. But if you're talking about Hashem coming to us and dwelling with us, then are we not talking about the Shekhinah, which in itself is the feminine aspect? So if we're being playing the role, so to speak, of the female, but Hashem is coming to us with his feminine side.
No? I don't know why Shekhinah has to be feminine. I'm not sure. Okay. Even though I don't know about that. The Rambam writes that Shabbat HaMelech. We say Shabbat HaMalkah. I don't know where that comes from, because yeah. Rambam writes Shabbat HaMelech.
Okay.
I don't know.
We are on the receiving end, so we're playing the female role.
I think the Soloveitchik said that Shabbat is Hashem coming into our homes.
That's what I
read. Rav Soloveitchik.
Yeah.
And the Shlosha Regalim, we're going to his home.
Mm-hmm.
We go up to the temple.
Yeah, it's his commentary on the Siddur.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Okay. But I still think it's, we're still the feminine. We're still receiving. Still a... ומכיוון שכל עניין קבלת התורה הוא התבטלות להשם יתברך בבחילת אין על דרך נישואין, being that receiving the Torah is the idea of entering a marriage, the idea of saying I'm going to do away with my ego and my self-interest, I'm focused on giving, צריך ישיודי להיות לו התבטלות גם לתורה הקדושה. So then what we're really saying is I am hereby accepting the Torah's direction, and again, my interest, my ego isn't relevant. Ki haTorah meviyah ledvekut b'Hashem. It's the Torah that brings us to that connection with Hashem. Sheiva v'chibur ben Hashem ila leitata hanukut shabrichu v'knest Yisrael ledvekim al yidei haTorah. The Vav, so to speak, is the connector. The Torah is the connector between Hashem and us. Uchmodichtiv b'zohar hakadosh, and like the Holy Zohar writes, kut shabrichu orayta v'Yisrael kuluchad. Hashem, the Torah, and Israel, we're all one, where the unifying factor is the Torah. And that's why a person doesn't merit Torah unless he says, I am hereby married. I'm ready to give. Tell me what I'm supposed to do. As our sages taught in the end of tractate Brachos, and the words of Torah can only have existence, they can only last long term by someone who kills himself over the Torah. What does that mean? That means, so to speak, he says, my interests are not what's relevant here. I am not putting my personality. It's a huge challenge. You approach Torah, and very often you feel like the Torah should be saying A or B or C. I'm not prepared to hear the Torah telling me different. No, you want to hear Torah? You got to be ready to hear the Torah. If I'm coming with my agenda, so then I'm not going to hear the Torah. We also have. Yafe. V'chein amru chazal kach darka shetorah. Our sages said the path of Torah is pat bamelach tochel. You eat bread and you don't have too much to put on it, but salt. V'alaretz tishan, and you don't have the amenities of a wonderful bed and pillow. You're sleeping on the ground and you drink a small amount of water, and you should be happy you're learning Torah, and then you'll succeed. If you're trying to live in the lap of luxury as you're learning, you won't be able to, you won't get there. V'od amru, our sages further said, HaTorah nimshelah l'mayim. Our sages said Torah is compared to water. Mamayim yodim mimkom gavoh l'makom namuch. Just as waters go down from the high to the low, kach divrei Torah, so too the words of Torah will be found by those who are humble, not by those who are high. V'chein amru zal, and so our sages taught, kol mi sheino oseh atzmo hefker kamidbar, eino yachol liknot ta Torah. Our sages said the Torah was given in the desert to tell us that you have to nullify yourself like a desert. Just like the desert is all sand, it's flat, and anyone can go through it, so too a person has to be focused on Torah and not on standing up and attaining all the material goods. Torah is when a person can say, my interests are not what's important here. Let me see what the Torah has to say. That's like marriage. In this way, we can also understand the concept of the sounds and the lightning and the fear that preceded that awesome time of receiving the Torah. Within man, part of the forces that are to play is the mud he's made out of, the physical. You see, God tells Adam, you are dirt. And being that we do have that mortal, earthly component, so that stands in our way to connecting to spirituality. And so the preceding light and thunder and fear were purifying, so that we could connect. And this is relevant in every year, as the Rebbe quotes a Rebbe, I don't know who it is, from Lanchena. It was once the night of Shavuos, and he said to the Hasidim, I can't tell over any Torah tonight. He says, last year's Torah, I finished. I gave over all of last year's Torah, and this year's Torah I haven't yet received. That's what he said on the night of Shavuos. V'rak afshar lasot et ha'chana la'Torah, k'ma'amura chazal she'ya be'ma v'yav retu v'zeya. He said, what we can do now is preparatory. We're preparing for the new Torah we're getting for this year. V'etchil kulo lirod, and he stood there in front of the Hasidim, and he started shaking and trembling. He said, what we can do now is just prepare for Maimad receiving the Torah. V'aynu nami and that's the idea that they stood there in fear for 3 days preparing, because that was preparatory to be able to say, okay, my ego is not what's important here. My physical material attractions are not what's important here. I want to connect now. That's how we prepare for receiving the Torah, a preparation for real connection, a preparation for giving, a preparation for being open to the direction the Torah is going to give us, and overcoming our own partiality, our own interests, which are the Anochi that Moshe says is standing in between Hashem and us.